In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Paul's exhortation to the people to whom he was writing, this exhortation to the faithful to do good, comes out of an immediate situation whereby there were people doing evil, people subject to carnal desires, people not living honorably as they were called to live. But of course, the words of St. Peter have survived to us in sacred scripture precisely because this exhortation that he gave to the church at her beginnings continues to remain real and true to us even now. The freedom that we have been given to live is not a freedom to license, a freedom to do as we please. It is a freedom rather to do as we are called to do, as we ought to do. There is a right way and a wrong way to live in the world. It really is that simple. And despite all the chaos that swirls around us, and the manner in which this chaos continues to affect the church and the world itself, we still understand what it is we know we ought to do and how we need to go about actually doing it. And so we are indeed free to give praise to God, to live rightly in the sight of men, to obey those laws that are reasonable, that are in concert with the truths of faith and the natural law, to give obeisance to those who are in proper authority over us out of respect for authority itself, not necessarily the man or woman who might inhabit the office, but because of the office itself. And we do all this so that when people see us, they see not only the things that we say and preach, but more importantly, the manner in which we live our lives. Scripture tells us in wisdom literature that the just man is a rebuke to the unjust, and how true that actually is. The more sincerely you live your life of faith, the more difficulty you will cause for the world, and therefore the world will come after you. That coming after you manifests itself in a variety of different ways, whether it be within your own families, whether it be society and culture. We now know government is arrayed against us, sneaking into our churches and reporting on us. But there's no reason to sneak into church or report on us as if somehow we are doing things that are secret and unknown to the rest of the world. We preach and live and strive to live outside and inside the church the truth that God has bestowed upon us. There is nothing secret, nothing hidden, nothing in the shadows. There is no reason for ones to skulk around. But it becomes difficult for people to believe in the truths of our faith that we ourselves are not striving to live rightly in the sight of God. This does not mean that we don't sin. Of course, sadly, we sin. We fail. We struggle over and over again to have our wills correspond to the will of God. But brothers and sisters, we always must strive for that. When we do fail, we return to God through the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, confessing our sins and seeking his mercy, and then we resolve with the grace that we've been given to yet again live as we know we ought to live. All of this grows out of the dispensation of new life that we continue to celebrate in our Easter season. We have new life because God suffered and died for us. And this new life that he has given to us is a life born in the Spirit who is alive and real and true, the Spirit who animates and gives us the strength we need to live as we ought to live. And so as a concrete, you must evaluate on a daily basis the life that you live. Does your life correspond to truth? That's not a rhetorical question hanging out there, dangling in front of you to somehow give you something to carrot to look forward to, but rather the manner in which you govern your own existence. And then when you realize that there are things that are a gap between who you are called to be and the manner in which you live your life, you call upon the grace of God to fill the gap, to pull it closer, to make it tighter, to live as you know you ought to live. We never remain static. We never remain comfortable with our sins and our weakness. We certainly do not turn to the world for justification of those things that we know that are evil and unholy. Instead, we beg for forgiveness and we seek to cooperate with grace. There is, in my understanding, and this is one of the sad effects, one of many sad effects of the Protestant revolt, is that we do not believe in the power of grace. Protestants ultimately, and no offense for those of you who may have begun your life as Protestants and are separated brethren, but the fact of the matter is they don't believe in the power of grace. because they reject the manner in which grace actually comes to us through Holy Mother Church, through the sacramental life of the Church. God bestows grace to give us the strength to live as we are called to live. Grace is real and true, and as such is powerful. And therefore, when we are called to cooperate with it, when we are called to live righteously in the sight of men, God is not setting us up for failure, but rather has given us the very things we need in order to fulfill that which he wants to bestow upon us. And so the question that rests before you is, do you believe in the power of grace? The very graces God has given you in this holy sacrifice. You will come forward, you will kneel, and you will receive the living God who rests inside of you. Is that merely a myth, an analogy? Or do you actually believe that God is inside of you? Because if you do, then your life will reflect that. Yes, there will be failure, but there can certainly be more success than the failures with which we might struggle. If I seem slightly more animated than I normally do, it's because I confront again and again and again, not among the separated brethren, for I expect them to know nothing of truth, but among Catholics, believing Catholics, traditional Catholics who don't understand and accept the power of grace. They believe in the things of God, yes. They assent to them intellectually, but then there is this chasm between the things of their mind and the manner of their heart turned over to God. There must be that union of minds and hearts, knowing what it is you ought to do, and then living it out of every fiber of your being. I stand before you not as a perfect practitioner, so don't wag your fingers at me and say, Monsignor, you don't live as you should. I don't. I know that, but I am not trying to justify my failures, rather to have my life correspond to the things that God is asking me to do. And so I exhort you to do the same. This, brothers and sisters, is simply what it means to live as children of the light, to dispel the darknesses that are there. And if we want to see the triumph of God, and indeed he has triumphed, if we want that triumph to permeate society and culture, it always begins with us. Yes, we look to governments and institutions and systems to change, but governments, institutions, and systems are made up of individual people who seek to live as they know they ought to live. It really is that simple. And yes, it also is possible for God's grace to be realized and true, and for us to live here on earth as we are called to actually live. If you don't believe that, then I really don't understand what you are about and why you are here. Why engage all of this on a daily basis, Sunday after Sunday, unless you truly believe in the power of transforming grace? And then you can put aside sin, not be a slave to carnal and inordinate desires. You can reject dominant culture and the manner in which it permeates our lives at times, and you can live as God calls you to live. And so let us pray through the very graces God is giving us to be here right now, and the other manifold graces that he's bestowing upon us in the Holy Sacrifice, and the graces that he will give us when we are able to come forward and receive. Grace poured out upon grace. It is so abundant. It's not so much a question of is there enough grace. Rather, the question is, why do you not take advantage of the abundant graces that God bestows upon you? It's not a rhetorical question. Ask that. In prayer, see where there are pitfalls and failures, and resolve to allow God to heal that which is broken, and then in the strength that he bestows upon you, to go forward and live as you should. This is indeed a grace, the Lord says, this life of obedience, this life of moderation, this life of faith. This is indeed a grace that comes to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.